Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Your bank's cash machine has gone berserk, giving out 20s as if they were 5s, yet your receipt shows no sign of overpayment. You immediately know something is wrong. You ask for a withdrawal of $100, but it gave you $400. So what do you do? Would you A, use the emergency telephone to alert the bank, B, just take the money and run, or C, call your friends and tell them to get to the bank quickly as you go to the end of the line for a second run at the machine yourself? Now, if you chose the first option, you are in a decided minority, judging from an unintentional experiment in ethics that actually took place at a bank. You see, a careless employee loaded a canister of $20 bills into the slot for $5 bills. This meant it paid off better than the lottery, at least for a short while. Although the cash machine panel had a 24-hour telephone for reporting trouble outside of bank hours, the bank received only one call, two at the most, according to the bank spokesman Robert Nolan. Instead, a long line of eager cash seekers formed at the machine. "I called everybody I knew," one man said, who chose not to give his name. Surely no Christian stood in that line. Certainly no one could have been to church earlier on that Sunday and stood there ripping off the bank later that afternoon. Or could there have been? Is it possible that some who were born-again Christians ignored any fleeting thoughts about honesty and integrity, and they just scooped up the cash and walked away with it? How deep does the Christian commitment to ethics and honesty go when there is something to be had for nothing, or apparently so? A survey has found that there is little difference in the behavior of born-again Christians before and after their conversion experiences. As reported by a Christian news agency, the study found that behavior in each of three major categories, use of illegal drugs, driving while intoxicated, and marital infidelity, actually deteriorated after the born-again experience for many people. A spokesman for the survey said, "We've reached a point where there is little or no correlation between what we say and what we do. Accountability is lacking, confrontation is lacking, and we are marketing salvation in such a way that real discipleship is simply not occurring." Long ago, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he penned some strong words as he said, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." From what Paul wrote, it was obvious that those who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ hadn't been much concerned about honesty, but Paul had to remind them that their commitment to Jesus Christ carried with it a commitment to honesty as well. Now, before we're too hard on those who stood in line to get a payoff at a ratio of 4-1, perhaps it would be wise to ask, do you tell the grocery clerk who gives you too much change? Or do you think, if the person doesn't have enough sense to give me back too much money, that's their tough luck, not mine? Is honesty a commitment or a comment? In case you're wondering if they got away with it, the answer is no. The bank said they would be able to tell who had withdrawn money. Well, Scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.